anybody in the meantime got any question or what, huh? You can ask. Come here. Oh, tonight we got something new. This one is new. Before we start, maybe I just refresh you a bit. I think Sister Ellen, we all should thank her. She did the summary for the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths. Then she actually sadhu. It was very nicely done. So one page, everything there. So I think many Kayanamita find that it's very good. Very easy to understand. So we will try to photostat that copy when it's ready. Because they sent it to me to have a final look through. I haven't really had the time. I just saw it this afternoon at about 5 o'clock. So I was thinking maybe tomorrow. But I will summarize a bit for you today so that easier for you to understand. Then underneath the table, there are three phases of Dhamma. That one very important. Okay? So I just write it down first so that you can have an idea of what it is. So the three phases of Dhamma are Pariyatti, Patipatti, and the third phase is Pativeda. So these are the three phases of Dhamma. When you walk the path of Dhamma, when you are going through the full training, you will have to go through these three phases. And they are closely linked to the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths. Three turnings. So this Four Noble Truths, the three turnings are very important. The Buddha himself, under the first sermon, Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, he explained very clearly that he himself, that time before he became fully enlightened, the Buddha to be, he also had to actually understand the three turning of the Four Noble Truths before he can proclaim to be the enlightened one. So that shows the importance of the three turning. And this three turning is very, very unique. And very few people understand what the Buddha meant. And actually it's in the Theravada Sutta. But Theravada seldom talk about it. And there is hardly any book who write about it. Even God, they just mention it. They cannot elaborate and explain it. Except I think Ajahn Sumedho, he tried his own way. The other thing about this three turning is it is connected to the three type of wisdom that the Buddha taught, but it was not highlighted in the teaching. So this three turning, the moment you understand how to use it, your understanding will arise pretty easily. Then you progress very fast. Actually, this three turning is one of the best Dhamma to actually develop wisdom. And the three type of wisdom that correspond to the three type of training, they are all there. Then you can actually, finally, when you understand, any of the turning can bring about enlightenment. Depend on your path and depend on how diligent you are this life. Okay, now we can start. 8:30. So you compose your mind, develop the faith, the sadha, the virya. Then we will pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. Then we will start our puja. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami, Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Amesu micacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Suramiraya majjhapamadatthana Viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. Okay, very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Just relax yourself, body and mind relax, then maintain some form of attention, or sati, then we can start. So tonight, as usual, we just develop the meditation first. I think everybody has been here before, nobody is new, anybody? Nobody? Good. So just relax body and mind, silence your mind, then train your mind. Those who already know how to develop the sati, you can start your meditation straight away. I will get Suyam to off the light, then you can start your meditation. So briefly, just to give you a summary. Those who need to train their mind, you train using either mind sweeping method, metta, or you straight away go into anapanasati. You already know some form of training. You already have some form of metta and sati. For those who already stabilize their sati, you can just silence your mind and straight away develop the meditation. The real meditation is just to silence your mind to understand what is going on. It's just like when you want to understand yourself or understand somebody, you need to silently observe that person or observe yourself in motion, your reaction, how you live life. And when you silent, what happened? Then you will develop understanding. Then you will understand clearly what is going on. And that is how you develop wisdom. Understanding in the form of wisdom will arise when you can see the reality for what it is, not through a conditioned mind, not through a deluded mind, the mind that is free, liberated, non-judgmental, just attentively observe. Just like when you observe somebody or your children, you will understand a lot of things about your children and that person. So you do the same for yourself. Just silent. Then you will see a lot of things. Meditation is quite similar. After you train your mind, when you have sati, you just silent, then it become what they call stabilized. So sati, when stabilized, becomes samadhi. Samadhi will understand clearly. Then you use it to develop wisdom, it become appamada or heedfulness. So basically, this is the gist of it. So I will leave it to you to meditate. Then I will ring the bell in about maybe 25 minutes time. Okay. care for those who still want to meditate, you can continue for the seminar. Slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Just give me a minute. Okay. So tonight we can continue with our Q&A first. Then after that, I will share with you all, like I promised, the three phases of Dhamma and the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths. The notes, I think, we didn't print because they need me to have a final check before they print. So I will do it tomorrow. So wait for the notes. But those who want to view it on the online, it's in our Mahakayanamita website. I think Sister Ellen, they together with Padmasuri, I think both of them, they are trying to finalize the sheet of Dhamma that they managed to actually very skillfully put together under one sheet of paper to explain the whole three turnings of the Four Noble Truths, plus the three phases of Dhamma summarized down there. I will explain it clearer later on. So now we open up for Q&A. Oh, somebody printed it. Oh, very good. Sadhu. Thank you. So now you can report your meditation. Then you can also ask any question related to the meditation. Or any Dhamma that you are not so clear about. Also how to apply all of this meditative training that you have developed and the Dhamma that you have learned to help you understand life, overcome all of your so-called problems of life. So all this you can ask. Okay, anybody tonight want to report meditation? Ellen, you want to ask? Nothing. Or anybody want to report their meditation? Nobody? Okay, nobody, then maybe I will just go through the three turning first. So this three turning and 12 mode of the Four Noble Truths as proclaimed by the Buddha is very useful and very important. Like I explained earlier on before we start our class, the Buddha himself, immediately after his enlightenment, after the 7 weeks, he came out from that place where he actually developed the understanding. Then he decided to look for the 5 ascetics, the disciple of him, so that he can explain this wonderful truth that he has realized to them. So when he met up with them, the first sermon that he proclaimed was this Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. Dhammacakka is the wheel. Wheel. So in this case, it's the turning of the Dhamma wheel. So Dhamma is the Dhamma. Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta is the first sermon or the first turning of the Dhamma wheel, so that living being can develop the condition to understand this noble truth that he has realized. So this first turning of the Four Noble Truths, this first sermon that the Buddha proclaimed at that time was very, very unique. The whole of the sutta, Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, is actually focused on the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths. He explained the Four Noble Truths. Then he explained why you need to understand this Four Noble Truths in its three turnings. And because there are four truths, eh? So four times three, you have 12 modes. Eh? I will just write it out. So there are four truths. Each truth, you turn it three times, so you have 12 modes. So this one clear. So I told you just now, this three turning correspond to three types of wisdom that can arise. What are the three types of wisdom that can arise if you go through this three turning? The first turning is what about? What is the first turning of the Four Noble Truths? The Buddha just proclaim the Four Noble Truths, exactly like what you can read from the sutta. So when he proclaimed this truth, if you have cultivated before from your past life, then you will have this ability to understand what he say. Means through hearing of this sutta or the proclamation that the Buddha make, you can develop that wisdom. And you can also actually become enlightened or awakened. Just like Kondanya, one of the five ascetics. Before the Buddha even finished the first sermon, the first sermon, he became a Sotapan. Okay? So that type of wisdom, the Buddha called it what? What wisdom is it? Sutta, Maya, Panya. Sutta, Maya, Panya. Panya is wisdom, you can understand. So Sutta is the discourse of the Buddha. Understand? Whatever that the Buddha spoke, that discourse, they classify under Sutta. So wisdom born of hearing the Sutta. Can follow, That is the first turning. Okay? Then after you have heard, let's say you have not have the good fortune to inherit whatever past cultivation, you still cannot break through, you still cannot understand what that noble truths are, you can go for the second turning. So under the second turning, the Buddha said you should reflect, contemplate and inquire into all these noble truths. And then from there, you will develop another type of wisdom. He called it Chinta Maya Panya. So this second turning wisdom you see, after he has actually developed the reflection and contemplation, you just have to inquire deep into what was proclaimed by the Buddha. And through your inquiry, you actually assimilate all of the understanding that you have reflected upon, contemplate upon, and inquire into. So the moment you stabilize this understanding that you assimilate in, this understanding will stabilize. So you need this Chintamaya Panya to set the base for you to receive further truth. So that the next time you hear the truth again, it will benefit you tremendously. Because the second time you hear about it, when you have developed the contemplative wisdom or the contemplation, inquiry, and the reflection into it, your mind that has this initial Chintamaya Panya wisdom will be able to grasp and understand faster. So that's why it can prepare the base for you to actually awaken when you hear the first turning again. Understand that? So it doesn't mean that Sutamaya Panya, you hear one time, you miss, you don't understand really. No. This Sutamaya Panya, maybe first time you cannot get it, second time you cannot get it, but subsequent time, after you cultivate long enough, when your Chintamaya Panya is quite stable, then all of a sudden you can still awaken. Actually, many people make use of Chintamaya Panya to break through. But you need to have daily mindfulness, then you can do it. Then daily mindfulness can also bring about the third turning wisdom. Third turning wisdom is when you develop the meditative understanding, when you meditate into it, when you really, really cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness, then the direct seeing, you can insight into phenomena to realize the three characteristics of nature, which is impermanent, suffering state, and non-self. And then this type of wisdom will arise. What is the third type of wisdom? Bhavana, maya, panyaha. This word bhavana is very familiar. Bhavana is mental training or the meditative discipline. So bhavana maya panya is actually the wisdom born of the meditative training. So these three types of wisdom can arise. So before I go into the detail of these three types of wisdom together with the three turning, I will have to explain these three phases of Dhamma. These three phases of Dhamma is how you progress, actually. Yeah. How many of you have not heard of this treating? Everybody heard before? Oh, only a few. Okay, those who have heard before, roughly, what is your understanding of the first one, Pariyatti? What is Pariyatti? Yeah? Pariyatti is what? Learning of the doctrine, learning of the teaching of the doctrine. So this one involves learning, learning of the doctrine or teaching, or Dhamma. How do you do it? Based on what the Buddha has explained, how do you do it? Yes. See, nowadays, modern society, we are more fortunate. Last time, they got no writing. No CD, no cassette, no recording, nothing. And now we have all these things. So this learning has been made easier. Okay? You can either listen to whatever recording, or listen to whatever Dhamma talk or sharing by any person who understand the teaching or who can proclaim to you whatever the Buddha has proclaimed. Okay? So through that hearing or listening, you can also develop understanding. Then after that, you can reflect, contemplate into it. And then you develop further understanding. Then you stabilize what you have heard, what you have reflected upon, contemplate, and inquire into. Then after you stabilize, you can slowly assimilate it into your heart to develop this stability or understanding. And then Cintamaya Panya will stabilize. Okay? So the first one is hearing the doctrine. Listening and hearing. That is the first turning. Okay? Then the second turning is you reflect, contemplate, and inquire into it. So nowadays, you can also read, then reflect and contemplate. Not like last time. You must listen. There is no writing. Okay? So precisely, this first stage of, first phase of Dhamma is the first turning. Not the first turning, sorry. The first and second type of wisdom. Can follow that? First and second type of wisdom. Means Cintamaya Panya together with Suttamaya Panya. So these two combined, these two combined is Pariyatti. Okay? Pariyatti is learning of the doctrine through Suttamaya Panya and Cintamaya Panya. Can you understand? Can follow, yeah? So this is very useful. So if you want to develop the understanding, you have to develop the learning of the doctrine first. If you don't understand the teaching, you cannot go to phase two. Understand? Phase two is what? Patipatti. Patipatti is what? Cultivation of the doctrine means cultivation in daily life. You have to put this teaching into practice. Cultivation in daily life. So when you do that, this one become bhavana maya panya. Correct? Bhavana maya panya. And this one is the third type of wisdom. So patipatti is actually bhavana maya panya. Can follow on that? So if you cultivate patipatti until you awaken, become enlightened, yeah, then you will reach this third phase. Third phase is what? Third phase of Dhamma is what? After you have learned the doctrine, after you have understood what the doctrine is, you put to practice, then you awaken. And then this Pativeda is what? What is Pativeda? No, realization is here. This one. Ah, the fruition of it, isn't it? The fruition of your hard work. Understand? So the fruition of your hard work is what? Your reward. Understand? Your fruition or reward. Oh, this one is the most beautiful part of your life. Understand? This one is what you have to aim for. Understand? The three phases. So when you can reach Pativeda, friction or reward of your hard work. Then life become beautiful. Understand that? Life become meaningful. True or not? Yeah? Because after you have cultivated and you awaken, no more suffering, isn't it? Then you understand life clearly, isn't it? You understand almost every aspect of life there. So what happened to your life? Huh? You will live there? What type of life will you be living? Yeah? What type of life? Huh? What type of life will you be living? Huh? The noble life is there. The life of the enlightened one is there. Yeah? So you will live the noble life. The noble life of what? Huh? What? Of course, noble one. Noble one are very noble in their understanding of life. That's why they got right view, right understanding. Then they have right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. It means they are very noble in the way they arise their thought, in the way they communicate with you through your speech and whatever. Nowadays, you include email, right communication. Then they act righteously. They act with wisdom. They act with noble understanding. Then they live life in accordance with their noble understanding. And they have this, what they call right mindfulness and samadhi, constantly with them. And they are very mindful of their action, speech, and thought. So, you will live the noble life of heedfulness. They are always heedful, understand? Heedfulness. Yeah. Then life become what? Life become meaningful. Then you will actually have very good life. Life become full of meaning. Then you can actually experience all of the wonders and beauty of life. Clear not? Because no more suffering, isn't it? Because no more suffering. No more suffering. Only when you don't have suffering, you have a lot of what? Joy. Yeah? Happiness. Happiness. Then, some more what? Peace and? Of course, peace comes with calmness and everything. Peace and love. You will have a lot of love and compassion. So all this become your reward. Understand not? The fruition of it comes with what they call reward. So you remember the Mahayana saying the three ways to look at mountain. Initially, when you are still deluded, you like a lay person. Kan san si san, because lay people use words and concepts. Oh, mountain. So, before you learn pariyatti, you have the first type of seeing. Kan san si san. Mountain is just mountain. Then as you penetrate the learning, then you realize that what the Buddha teaches is very wonderful, but you haven't realized. Then the moment you cultivate patipatti, then when you awaken and realize, then you realize the mountain is no mountain. Kan san pu si san. So this one is kan san pu si san. This one is kan san si san. Then after that, you come back to the third phase. Again, you say kan san yu si san. Because during this phase, you are so beautiful. Understand? Everything already understood. People say mountain, correct, mountain. The enlightened one say no mountain, correct, no mountain. So he adjusts back to society and he reaps the fruition that he knows precisely that this form of mind is not him. Like this life, this so-called human being, form of mind, you call Brother Teo. This one is karmically conditioned out for me to use. To live life, to understand life, to experience all of the beauty and wonders of life. But it's condition arising, causal phenomena. It's not me. The awakened one, very clear one. So he used this to live, the form of mind. That's why this one can experience. This one can live. That's life to the fullest. And this one can understand very clearly because through the awakening, when you connect to the nature, it develops the wisdom. So the wisdom protects this form of mind from becoming deluded. So this form of mind actually reap the fruit and reward of the hard work that you have put in. So that's why there is such thing as life. So even the first one, when you live the noble life of heedfulness, you are so beautiful there. Heedful means what? Throughout the day, ever mindful, constantly cultivating wholesomeness and goodness, the noble evil power. Then there is a lot of joy, correct or not? A lot of peace, a lot of happiness, a lot of understanding, as compared to the earlier on heedless type of living. You've gone through, the very agitated type of living, full of what? Full of problems, full of suffering, misery, a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety, a lot of insecurity. Then, a lot of things need your attention. Not enough time. Sometimes they say, I wish I had more time. But if you come here to suffer, so much time also no use. When you come to this world without understanding, you got too much time, you got problem. That's that. Yeah. But if you know how to manage your life well, it's not a question of enough time or not enough time. That's that. Whatever time you have, you know that is the reality. That is what nature's law is all about. So you will echo and flow and you will know how to live and you become beautiful. Okay? So these three phases of Dhamma are very important, very beautiful. So, I hope Alan and Pan Asuri, you go and expand on it, okay? But what I wrote there is just a summary. So today at 5 o'clock when I saw, I want to reply. I said, so many things how to reply. I myself tonight come and talk, share, then you all try to. Yeah? I will not rub this one. Yeah? You try to use your own word. Yeah? Put it. When you can express it in your own word, means you have received, yeah? And developed the understanding. Then I will still edit again and maybe improve on it. Yeah? In that way, you all learn. Yeah? Then when Kayanamita share, if they reflect, contemplate, and go into it, they will learn further. Understand? Parihati, Patipati, and Pativeda, these are words normally put on the logo of Buddhist society. Yeah. Brickfield Mahavihara, I remember, they got one logo in the early days. Yeah? These three words down at the circumference. I don't know how many of you all are aware. And this one, when I started learning the Dhamma, I like these three words. And I straight away understand. Yeah. And this one, you seldom hear people talk about it. Isn't it? Yeah? How many of you have heard people explain these three things? Seldom. Isn't it? Yeah. Because this, especially this one, very difficult to explain. Huh? Well, this one, if you have not had the understanding, you cannot understand the third phase. Huh? Even the second phase, if they have not gone through, they don't know. They just tell you the very basic learning of the doctrine, cultivation, the doctrine, or putting it into practice in daily life. Then after that, they say the friction. And they're not explain what this thing is. But the moment I saw these three words, yeah, very funny. That was 1980-something. I straight away, inside, like, understood it so clearly. You know? I said, this is beautiful. This is what Dhamma is all about. And this title, I think nobody put on the three phases of Dhamma. They only talk about these three. So, any question or not so far about these three phases of Dhamma, Parihati, Patipati, and Pativeda, before we go into the three turning of the Four Noble Truths? Anybody got any question or want to add in anything? Yes. Pass the mic over to Ingby. Sadhu.
Ratio. Yeah. In Burmese chanting, they used to have this Magapala. How does this Magapala fit into number three, I think, is it?
No. Magapala is path and fruition.
Yeah, and then second
path
question.
Path and fruition is... wait. Okay, I'll let you finish your question first. Yes.
Second question is on these four pairs of persons and three types of individuals. They are the path and fruition.
Yes.
Achiever.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Very good. How many of you don't understand her question? Oh, quite a number. You see, what she is trying to ask is, in the teaching, especially in the Theravada chanting, she mentioned about the Burmese chanting, they always quote this path and fruition. Understand not? This Pali word is called Magapala. Magapala. Maga is path. This one is fruition. But this friction is not this Pativeda friction. Asana. This one is concerning the enlightened being. Asana. There are four pairs of enlightened being. You remember when you chant the salutation to the Sangha? Remember? Salutation to the Sangha. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho. Remember? That one. So when you chant, he always talk about the four pair of enlightened
chattari,
being.
Chattari, Purisa.
Purisa Yogani. Atta Purisa Pugala. This four pair of things. So you got four, what they call Sotapan. The first stage of sainthood is Sotapan. short form. Second one is Sakadagami. Then third one is Anagami. Then the fourth one is what? Yes. Arahant. Or they call Arahant. Arahant or Arahant. These are the four types of enlightened being, noble ones. Sotapanna is the first stage of sainthood. Okay? Sakadagami is the second stage of sainthood. Then you have Anagami, the third stage of sainthood. Then you have Arahant, the fourth stage of sainthood. So, according to the sutta, the teaching, the Buddha said, there are 10 fetters that bind living beings to this world. 10 fetters. So these 10 fetters, they trap the living being, prevent you from becoming enlightened. So the first three, they are Sakkayaditti. The first one is Sakkayaditti, means self-delusion or wrong view with regards to the Atta. Then the second one is what they call rites and ritual. Then the third one is the faith in the triple gem. So once you break through the first three, you become a sotapan. Okay? So these first three, if you severe, you become a sotapan. Then after that is the fourth and fifth fetters. So if you attenuate this, means you reduce it, attenuate or reduce. You become a Sakadagami, second stage of sainthood. Then when you completely severed four and five, then you become Anagami, the third stage of sainthood, Anagami. But the last 5, 6 to 10, you have to sever this, then only you become Arahant, Arasana. When all these factors are severed, then you become Arahant. So this is how the sainthood comes about. But every of this stage, you have to go through path and fortune. So this path is when you already actually have the first glimpse of the realization of Nibbana. Means the third noble truth, the third turning. This noble truth that talk about the cessation of dukkha, which is Nibbana, has already been realized. You must have at least one glimpse of it, means one moment of pure consciousness, which is actually cessation of form and mind. Consciousness also ceases to be. So the moment you pass that, you went into this path, Magga. You enter the path. Understand? But when you enter the path, it's very funny, you know. It's like you open the Dhamma door. Oh, wonderful. Inside there are a lot of beautiful Dhamma. Understand? But you don't know how to use. Understand? Because you're only on the path. Like you have to walk that path to actually understand what this thing is, and to develop all the what they call stability of understanding. So when you are on the Magga path, you already enlightened. Understand? No more delusion. So when you confront anything with regard to these first three factors, which is Sakkayaditti especially, the moment Sakkayaditti is break, once you severe that, rite and ritual or no more. You go and tell this sotapanna, you say, after you die already, your consciousness become what and what, you will be born a hungry girl. He even know you don't understand. Because there is no self behind. There is rebirth. There is form and mind. But it's not him. And he know it's not him. There is no such thing. That's why rite and ritual, you cannot put, we use a more crude word. You cannot lie to him or bullshit him. Understand? Then you try to trick him. Like you all go, our parents' generation, I think, very common. They go to medium. Then medium say, oh, you're this person just passed away. Now got problem. Yeah. Maybe pending go to hell or what. You want to help? Oh, you pay so much. They will do this for you, do that for you. This rite and ritual. Then he say, you must make offering to what? Then you must donate to what? All this, they cannot fall into the delusion already. They cannot be tricked or trapped. Then the third one is their faith in the triple gem. Unshakable. You go and tell them there is no such thing as the Buddha. There is no such thing as this Dhamma. They know you don't understand. And they're very clear. And they know there are such things as Noble One, understand? Enlightened One. But they are one of them, understand? So that's why when you're on the path, all this understanding actually you got, but you don't know. Understand? But when you encounter a situation, suddenly you realize you will know. You know how to act. Understand? But the beauty is, after you pass through Marga, after you have a glimpse of that cessation, then slowly you continue the tree turning, reflect, contemplate, and develop further understanding. You stabilize very fast. Then you reach the friction. Friction is the stabilization of understanding. In this case, it's stabilization of understanding. So now you understand, Yingbi? When you stabilize the understanding of what you have actually had a glimpse and the what they call change in lineage. Understand or? Change in lineage. You remember the 16 insight knowledges? There is one they call change in lineage. Anuloma or what? I forgot already. What is the Pali word? I forgot already. You reach Sankara Upeka first. Understand or? Sankara is equanimity. Upeka is your formation, your mental Sankara and all those things. Understand? So when your Sankara reach that equanimity formation, then you have clarity. You have Upeka enlightenment factor. Then you can awaken. Understand? You can see things as they are and you awaken. Then they call, there is a shift, change in lineage. Then you, from a Putujana, you shift over to what they call Noble One or Aryas. So after friction, after Marga, which is the path, you continue to reflect, contemplate, and cultivate. Then you continue to develop the first, second, and third turning wisdom. Then your understanding stabilizes. So the stabilization of understanding will allow you to teach and share. Understand? You can share and teach what you understand. Understand? Before that, he cannot. Understand? He understands, but he cannot put it into words and share it with you. Understand? Or explain it to you. Because he haven't used it yet. Understand? You can follow that. So the path and fruition is like that for all the four sainthood. Sotapan, Sakadagami, Anagami, and Arahan. They are all path and friction. That's why there are four pairs of being. Understand? This one I never explained before because last time nobody asked and also no condition. I think people cannot understand. Now, different. Now, there are some who can understand. Okay? So this one is Marga Pala. But this Pala friction is not this one. Understand? Understand? Here, Marga Pala is Patipati, second one. Understand? When you complete the second one, the cultivation, you will realize path and friction. Understand? Understand? That's why the English word sometimes very confusing. The friction of it. The fruition of the whole cultivation. Understand? But here, the friction is different. This friction is concerning that enlightened being. Understand or not? Its understanding stabilized. Understand or not? Then after that, of course, it know how to live. Then it come to this third phase of the Dhamma. Understand or not? But Sotapan are limited as Sotapan. Understand or not? Because they still have sensual desire and ill will, the fourth and fifth fetters. Understand or not? Even when you break free into second stage of sainthood, Sakadagami, you only manage to attenuate your sensual desire and ill will. Understand? Even after you break them all, you only break the first five fetters. That's why the Anagami, the third stage of sainthood, they still got five more fetters to break now. And you know what are the 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10? 6 1 is what? 6 and 7 together. What is 6 and 7 fetters? Attachment to what? To the form and formless jhanic, jhana, understand? The jhanic state. If you think that is ultimate, you get trapped there. So that's why a lot of people who do the apana samadhi, or what they call samatha bhavana, this bring me to the clang talk I gave April 24th. You all should thank again Ellen. She heard the recording. She was so happy after listening to it. There was so much joy, even at the talk, then go back. She decided to do the transcript. Then she seek permission from me to do the transcript. That's why we should rejoice. Sadhu to her. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then when I saw the thing, and she really did it verbatim, word for word. Then I read, I understand. Well, this is the way I talk. Then I know this is going to be beautiful. And the title is Vipassana and Samatha Vipassana Bhavana. And that one, today I sent out to a few Kayanamita, only a small part. But the attachment, I need Ellen and Engbi to help me to go through. You, of course, check the spelling and the grammar if you can. Then after that, what I want is, like last time, the 12 September 2013, you remember the Thursday transcript doc? I want to print it into a booklet form. Understand? The A4 paper fold into two. I think you did it for me. Last time. So you can layers with Ellen. Well, I don't know how to do the paging. So the title page also got a one number one. I don't know how to remove that one. You all have to clean it up a bit. Then after that, send it back to me. Then I hope, because next Friday, not this Friday, I will give another talk there. So I hope to distribute the notes to you all. If at least the notes, or if not, we print it out. I think got one more week, 8 days, another 7, 8 days. You just clean it up, then give me a master. Send me a master. Then I just go and do it. I only need 1 day to finish the photostat. So if I get it by Thursday, also okay. No, my talk is 20th. This coming Friday, the next Friday. 20th. Before Achan come. Before Achan come. That's why all the schedule like fall into place. No clash or no. Very funny. Last time when I was working, also same. During those years when I was cultivating, I want to travel spiritual trip. I go sometimes 2 weeks, 10 days, or sometimes I go retreat. Never clash or no. Actually, my schedule is full. But very funny, when the Dhamma fall into place, everything, no clash. It just fall into place. June and October and November, I think, full. But nothing clash on. October also same. You all go and arrange my birthday. You put forward in there. The gathering of Kayanamita. You put forward to 19. Then Anandagiri is 23rd, which is Taipusa. Not Taipusa, Deepavali. Deepavali. Then we come back on the 26th. And then after that, Ermesan is 2nd of November. Then my actual birthday is end of the month, I'm still around. So everything falls into place. So this one is like, when the Dhamma is there, it will echo and flow and it will fall into place. So you don't have to worry. A lot of things you don't have to make decision on. You echo and flow, everything will be beautiful. So this Klang talk, I just finished the editing today. And when I read through again, it was so beautiful. This one will make very clear to you how those who do samatha, they get trapped. The earlier one, the Wu Ping Ching Su one, the 19 pages one, is about thought-based meditation, anasara, but nothing was mentioned about, or hardly anything was mentioned about samatha bhavana, anasara. But the Klang talk is everything on samatha bhavana. Then there is a little bit of vipassana, but all needed to complement the Wu Ping Ching Su note. So these two sets, when you combine, it becomes complete. Complete. And it fits in so nicely. You by the time you receive, you make sure these two set, you go and file it out. Then you just have to read through. This one summarizes the whole cultivation and the whole practice. So when it comes to what they call anagami, they still got these five more fetters to break. So the 6 and 7, like I say, attachment to what? Attachment to form and formless jhana. To form jhana. There are four. Then to formless jhana. Also four. Then number 8 is what? Number 8 is what? Minor conceit. Mana. So this one is minor conceit. You know what is conceit, isn't it? Like a bit proud, understand? The conceit will have that thought. No? The anagami also will still have that thought. No? Or sotapanna and sakadami still have. Is it? The deluded one, or the puttajana, pitiful, because they don't understand, they didn't really cultivate, they don't have this dhamma. Then to them, they are like superior, so that minor conceit, they will still have that. So this one, you must know, this one is atta at the mind level, understand? Atta at the mind level. Whereas the first fetters, sakayaditi, self-delusion, is at the form and mind level, understand? The sotapan, he know this form and mind is not him. Understand? So this form and mind level, he break through already. But at the thought level, he haven't broke through. Understand? That's why he still got sensual desire, he still got ill will. Understand? Then he still have this minor conceit. Then he will still have what they call restlessness of mind. The number 9 is restlessness of mind. Restlessness. Oh, my. Last one is what? What is the last one? The first link, dependent origination. Avijja. This one very funny. This one, the arahant one-shot breakthrough. When they realize that permanent cessation of form and mind. Then they straight away know very clearly. No more delusion. No more delusion. It's not a glimpse anymore. No, they really go into cessation. Then because of their wisdom, they severe this factor, avijja, the whole of ignorance. That's why avijja paccaya sankhara, no more. This sankhara can never trick them anymore. Understand? Can never delude them anymore, cannot cause any more problem to them, or suffering, or whatever. It understands sankhara very clearly. So these 10 fetters, the last 5, only at the Arahant level you see it, understand? Then the Arahant very clear, you tell them die already, got this Brahma plane, very high up. Or the formless rhyme like Alara and Udaka, the teacher of Sakyamuni Buddha at that time. But to these two, they meditate under the seventh formless jhana and the eighth jhana, which is another formless jhana, the highest. To them, they think that is eternal life. But that rebirth, you live for very, very long. For the highest one is, I think, 84,000 aeons. You know how long? No? One aeon already so long. That one lived for 84,000 aeons. So to them, it's like eternal life. Ultimate salvation. So that's why they have this belief that they already there. Understand? And they don't want to strive anymore. Because they know they are. This form, they will relinquish. They will take birth in the formless rhyme. So all this, the Arahant, they were what they call severed, all the fetters. And they just break through. And they understand very clearly. That's why the Buddha's teaching is very fantastic, I tell you. When you realize and understand, it's very, very fantastic. You think fairy tale. This one is more powerful than fairy tale. When you go through all this, you will realize the Buddha is so wise. So wise. And I can tell you, a lot of cultivators during the ancient time, when Buddha arrived 500 years ago in India, all the cultivators, the Swami and all those things, almost most of them, they are all trapped in these two, form and formless rhyme. Especially the formless rhyme. Because to them, the mind states are so rewarding and wonderful. So they experience fantastic meditative state. Just like the Surangama Sutta, the 50 Divan Samadhi, when they talk about all those fantastic meditative mind states. So these are all actually Divan Samadhi that can bring about rebirth in the high heavens. But finally, after a very, very long period of time, you will still fall. The clang talk I gave, I explained all this. I talk about the 16 Brahma rhyme and the 4 formless rhyme, the total 20 rhymes in the high heavens. Then how the Buddha, after he became enlightened, he wanted to help one of the Mahabrahma. Mahabrahma, to the Indian or the Hindu, they call him the creator. Because if you look at the 31 plane of existence, there are 4 what they call cycle of destruction, do you remember? By the various elements. And the highest one, they burn until the Mahabrahma rhyme. Understand not? They go beyond the Deva rhyme. And during that time, all the existence got wiped off. And because the Mahabrahma is at the rhyme just above, the one get destroyed. Then from there, everything start again. So that's why that Mahabrahma, actually, he has fallen from the very, very high formless rhyme and reached the Mahabrahma rhyme. Then he still thought he was the creator. Every time he see the destruction, then he's still around. Then he saw the creation of the life form, existence, everything down the lower rhyme. So he thought he was the creator god. That's how that what they call their tradition come about, their teaching come about. So they always worship this Mahabrahma, creator god. Then when Sakyamuni knew about it, he went up there and talked to him, then help him. You can read the sutta, I think they have. But I didn't read, I only heard from Reverend Suwarno. If I say something wrong, you check up yourself. But I think he is right. Your Reverend Suwarno like to tell this type of story. So a lot of this actually cut short my training. Well, when I listen to Reverend Suwano's Jataka story and all this, I no need to read Tipitaka. That's I no need to read all those things. But very funny, all those stories he taught, I can remember one. Like I find it very interesting, even King Saka and all those things. The Saka Pangha and all those things. But he used Hokkien. He used Hokkien, Penang people like, and I Alastair, I also like that type of Hokkien. And the way he explained it, he was not bad for a Theravada monk like him. And he even explained the 16, what they call insight knowledges, you know, the 16 jnana, not jnana, no, jnanas. I remember the way he explained, not bad for a Theravada monk at that time. Okay, so any question? Any more question? Yeah. Pass to Ellen.
Brother Teo, just to clarify just now on the four pairs and eight individuals, the four is because there are four levels of sainthood and each one consists of Magga and Pala, that's why we have eight.
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
Correct.
Thanks.
Because when you are on the path, you are one type of enlightened being. That's not. Like Sotapan, when you are just on the path, means you go through the cessation, a glimpse of it, then your understanding haven't stabilized yet. So they categorize that as one type. Then later on, when you continue to cultivate the tree turning, then during that time, because you already have a glimpse, you can understand very fast on. Whatever factor they severed, they will break free very fast on. Because like that Dhamma door open, they go in, they will see the Dhamma there. Understand? Then very fast they understand. The moment they reflect, contemplate, they will understand. Or they inquire, they will understand. Then as this understanding stabilizes, they become what they call fruition of that category of enlightened being. So there is always one pair, understand? Can follow, So there is always one pair. So this fruition will make their understanding very stable. Then they can explain to you. They can even teach you. Before that, cannot. Understand? Before that, they know themselves. When encounter situation or problem, they will understand. They know how to solve. But they cannot put into words, understand? They cannot explain to you what this thing is. That's why this path and fruition is something very unique for those who pass through this phase. There is one part I want to share. I almost forgot. Just now, split second, it came, then gone. Now come back. You see, some people, you realize or not, some of these enlightened being, they one shot break through path and fruition. Understand? No need to like wait for some time on. Understand? You know why or not? They cultivate before already. Understand? They already did it long time ago. That's why when they go through, zoom, very fast on. And they understand this very fast on. It's like refresh your course. Understand? That's why straight away you understand on. And all this, it can happen on. So, if you have your path, then you will move back to your level very fast, very fast. And you pass through all this very fast. It depends on the condition and how diligent you are. And what particular way you take. Especially those who take the wisdom way. Oh, very fast. They just pierce through like anything. And they will understand all this one. And one shot, they will move back to their level of where they supposed to continue their cultivation. And their nature, when they connect, they will inherit. This one is not karmic nature. No. This is your perfection nature. No. Your what they call spiritual nature. No. Sambhogaya kaya. So Sambhogaya kaya, you must connect, then only you can inherit. It's not like the karma, no. Your karmic nature. Karmic nature, no need to wait for connection. No. the moment you take rebirth, it's there already. That's why the Buddha said, each and every living being, you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma, and you are what you are because of your karma. Can follow, huh? That's why the cultivation is not so straightforward. It's mainly because of these two things. Karma, you no need to wait for connection. Straight away there already. Understand? Good or bad. Understand? But if you want to develop the wholesomeness, if you want to become enlightened, you need to connect. As long as you don't connect, there is no way you can inherit. Understand? So it depends on how long you have to stay in this world before you connect. So the longer you stay before you connect means the longer you go through samsara, understand? The longer you go through suffering, understand? But for those who actually understand, then they will know this way is actually a very difficult one. Even let's say in the past you cultivate before. You know what happened or not? Even when you come, the Buddha considered very fast, no? Age 29, he left the palace. Then age 35, he understood everything and inherited everything. Just imagine a normal human being. If you don't have parami like the Buddha, you come, maybe you go through life. Then maybe you become serious at the age of 30. Consider earlier. Some wait till retire only on the start. Like the Klang talk, you go and read. That one come out very nice. They will say, cannot afford to retire. Wait till I got financial freedom. Or wait till I retire, I go full time. So these are all the excuses. So what happens is, as long as you start late, you will have to take a long time to connect. Understand? But if you start early, then you put in the hard work. Actually, for the Buddha, consider relatively fast. The 6 years is not due to him, it's due to other people, understand, who make vow and all those things. So he got to wait for those conditions to be fulfilled. So even after you connect, then only you start to inherit. And connect and inherit. But when you inherit, it depends on your perfection and the path you take. If you go wisdom way, you receive very fast, you connect very fast, then you reach there very fast. But yours, if it's not wisdom way, it will take you quite a while. And even to inherit also, it takes you quite a while. Because some true faith, they do it. Then some true vow. Then the vow, you connect to the right Buddha and Bodhisattva, of course it helps a lot and it brings forth the condition to connect faster. So what I'm trying to share with you is, every life you come, you actually don't have much time to cultivate one. Understand? Even let's say, average lifespan, 75 years old. Like this life I come, I'm very lucky actually. I started very early. I started 1971. 15 years old. I think so, before. Correct? 54 minus 71. Oh, 17. Oh, yeah, 17. Form 5, I remember. After the exam, I was looking at the sky, the planet, the star, everything. Then the understanding inside just broke. Who am I? What am I? What am I doing here? What is life? Then I know science and geography. I say, planet Earth, that time, I think 5, 6 billion population on here. Or maybe 4 plus, I forgot it. I say we are one of the miserable 4 or 5 billion in this planet Earth. And planet Earth is one of the speck in this whole universe. But this universe got billions and billions and trillions of stars. Every star is a potential sun, some bigger, some smaller. Then we talk about light years away. Travel at the speed of light also takes so long to reach there. Then I realize human being or living being is so insignificant, then the probe start, but that time I cannot understand anything. I only know one thing. I cannot use the thought to probe. At that age, I already understood. I say I must meditate. That time, I don't even know what is meditation. I only know I must meditate. Then I left it. Then after the holiday, immediately after I went into lower six, there was one classmate, the sister, also Teo. My class got three Teo. This one is one of them. The sister gave me this book. I was very surprised. The first edition of Chief Reverend's What Buddhists Believe is a thin copy, red color one. And when I received that book, the moment I turned, I was full of joy. I saw the description there. What my mother did was write and ritual, Chinese custom and tradition, nothing to do with Buddhism, nothing to do with the Dhamma. Then when I read the Four Noble Truths, I straight away said, no need to search already. This is the one. That's why after that, when I finished my Form 6, the first day I report to MU, I met Chief Reverend. He gave a talk at Science Faculty that night. Then I went back. First college, I remember. I wait till midnight, my roommate sleep. Then I arise from the bed. I sat and meditate. I don't know how to meditate. That was the first sitting. And immediately I went in, I connect. I just sat for a while. I thought half an hour. I look at the watch. I was 4 hours sitting there. 4 a.m. Then a lot of things happened. Then I was thinking, what is this? Maybe this is meditation, I said, because my mind becomes so still, so silent. I went into this formless trial. The first time I did, I went into this. Then after that, the energy was so still and so strong. And for days, it was with me. That's like, after that, I know how to meditate already. And the Anapanasati come by itself. So you ask me how, I also don't know. Because that time, I really don't know anything. Then after that, I start to go and find out where Chief Reverend's temple is, the address. And then I start to wait for my motorbike to come from Alaska. Then I drove there. I remember the first Sunday when I drove there. From quite near, I think, about maybe 100 meters away or what, I heard this chanting. The Theravada chanting. Namo Tassa Bhagavata. And all their chanting. Sound very familiar, very familiar. The first time I go there, then I realize, oh, this is interesting. This type of vibration, like very soothing, very familiar. That's how I started. Then everything just happened. But I seriously go full time in 1986. Then that time after that, I was in a way you call luck, but nothing to do with luck. The teacher come, the guide come. The book come, everything come. I also don't know how they come. I don't know them. And all over the world, they just come. And I just understand them. So you ask me how? I don't know. But I know a lot to do with the past. A lot to do with the past. Okay? So this is what I need to maybe end on to finish off. So any more questions? Any more? You better ask. Yeah. You make use of what I can answer to you. Don't wait too long. because a lot of these things, you don't ask, condition over, it cannot come out. I tell you. But when there is still condition, you ask, it will come out. Okay?
Brother Teo, correct me if I'm wrong. For the first factors, is a sankara.
First factor or what?
But
you mean the 10th factor?
Sotapan.
Yes.
For a sotapan,
yes.
They have no more sankara.
No, God. The arahant also God. They still got sankara. But that one split second, that one moment of cessation, that time, consciousness also no more. Completely cease. Only that moment when they realize nibbana.
Because I'm trying to relate this sankara with the 10th, the avijja.
No. Sankara is not there.
At the stage of the 10th, no more avijja.
Yeah, no more avijja. Arahan. That one is arahan.
But for the sotapan, they have no more sankara. Am
no,
I right?
No, no, no. Sotapan still got. Arahant also still got.
That means when there is sankara, that means avijja is still there.
No. That's why luckily you ask. You see, the dependent origination, remember? The first link is avijja paccaya what? Ah. This sankara will arise, sanasana. So this sankara, you see, when you still got ignorant, you still got sakaya ditti, you still got your hindrance of mind, then they become very rampant, anasana. Anasana. Like heedlessly releasing out, anasana. Your sankara is your whole of mind, anasana. All of your aggregate of mind, your activity. So your wrong view will make you very, very what they call kepo, anasana. Very deluded and heedless. And you keep on reacting. You keep on perceiving. You keep on thinking. You keep on complaining, grumbling, and so on. Then the fear, the worry, the anxiety. That's why the heedless type of living is miserable. That's all. That's why suffering. So this one becomes very, very strong. But the moment you sever this one, what happens is sankara, the negative one, understand? The one that brings about suffering, they cannot arise anymore, understand? They're no more ignorant. So whatever consciousness or sankara that you arise, the arahant is not deluded by it, understand? But it has the wisdom already. So avijja no more, it will not condition the what they call wrong thought, understand? Negativity of thought, the evil root, the hindrance, all no more, understand? So this is pure sankara. That's why the arahant, their aggregate are non-grasping. Understand? You know what is non-grasping? Upadana kanda is grasping aggregate. The ignorant one will have grasping aggregate. But the arahant is pure aggregate. Because of the wisdom, no more avijja, the aggregate is the form and mind, like physics. Upon contact, trigger off. Understand? That's why the Mahayana say, arahant, some of them got outflow, understand? Outflow of thought, understand? This thought can flow, understand? Understand? They only manage to cease the rebirth consciousness because there is no more ignorant. So the last thought moment, no more ignorant, it will not condition rebirth consciousness, understand? Yeah, that one no more. The rebirth of the segmented life, the form and mind that come, life after life, no more. Yeah. But the birth of thought, every moment, every instant, the arahant still have. It's only when you go through the bodhisattva way, when you reach a very advanced stage, then that mundane mind collapse. And when that mundane mind collapse, that sankara, which is the gross one, the normal one that you come with your birth, no more. When that one no more collapse already, that there is another very fine mind. But that very fine mind is supramundane. It's totally different. The vibration is very, very different. Very fine. Like no mind inside. Like the whole thing is no movement. But it can still perceive. It can still see. It can still feel. But it's non-grasping. Non-grasping means it cannot grasp already because there is no more delusion. Understand? So, arahant, some, they still have pure sankara, non-grasping. Yeah. But for those who cultivate the bodhisattva way, when their mundane mind collapse, the gross sankara no more. The supramundane mind arise. And that one very fine. You have to learn how to use again. Yeah. It's totally different. And that one, don't try to understand. You wait till it happens. Otherwise, you cannot understand. You use word, very difficult to understand. Okay? Does that answer your question? No, because it's very shocking to hear sotapan no sankara. You have to develop the understanding. Because sankara, even arahant level, they have. Understand? But whether it's grasping or non-grasping, there is the difference, okay? That's why if it's just the pure aggregate, it's not upadana khandas, then it's not a problem to the arahant. That's all. Whatever sankhara arise, it has got no power over them. It cannot torment them or afflict them because they got no more avijja. Okay? Yeah. Okay. Any more questions? Okay, if no more, I will run through the three turning quickly. Huh? Okay, the three turning and 12 modes of the Four Noble Truths, huh, as proclaimed by the Buddha. So, the Buddha, when he proclaimed the first Noble Truth, second Noble Truth, third Noble Truth, and the fourth Noble Truth, it through hearing, yeah? Wisdom born of hearing the Sutta or Dhamma as proclaimed by the Buddha. This is called first turning wisdom. And the Buddha called it Suttamaya Panya. Like I explained just now, up there, the whiteboard, Suttamaya Panya. Sutta is a discourse of the Buddha. Wisdom born of hearing the Sutta or proclamation made by the Buddha. Yeah. So if it can awaken you, then it constitutes first turning wisdom. Okay? Sutta. Suttamaya Panya. So now I read the proclamation. Hopefully by now some of you can awaken. Listen attentively. First Noble Truth, the Buddha said. This one is wisdom born of hearing, listening or reading. You can read the note also reading, read the text also reading. So the Buddha said, there is this First Noble Truth as proclaimed by the Buddha. He said, this bhikkhu is the Noble Truth of dukkha, or the Aryan truth of dukkha. The Buddha said, birth is dukkha, aging is dukkha, sickness is dukkha, death is dukkha, association with the dislike is dukkha, or to be with those whom you don't like is dukkha. Then separation from loved ones and your prized possession is also dukkha. Not able to get what one desire is also dukkha. In brief, clinging to the five aggregates, the five grasping aggregate, is dukkha. So this is the final summary. Yeah? When you grasp and cling to the five aggregates of form and mind, that constitutes suffering. So this five aggregate of form and mind, there are two aspects I already explained before. First aspect is as a human being. Because as a human being, you've got a physical form. Then you've got a consciousness trapped inside. So that consciousness is capable of four things: feeling, perception, activity of mind or sankhara, and become conscious, vinyanang. So vedana, sanya, sankhara, vinyanang are the four mental aggregates. So you add it to the physical form, it becomes the five aggregates of form and mind. So this is the first aspect as a human being. The second aspect that the Buddha talked about under dependent origination is the five mental aggregates of form and mind. So how the form enters the mind, that one you need to meditate to understand. But theory-wise, you can also understand because we have this aggregate of perception. We can perceive things through our senses, through our hearing, seeing, smell, taste, tactile, or thought process. So the moment you perceive, you will come to know what that thing is. And so external phenomenal world, so external form, can be color, shape, or form, or vibration, or smell, taste, and all those things, or tactile feeling. These are what they call external form. So you bring this external form into your mind state through your perception. Because through perception, you can bring the form into your mind. So the external form that you bring into the mind is the thing that the mind knows. Because the mind is a knowing element. That's not. So the thing that the mind knows is the form in the mind. That is how perception brings in the external form. So together with the four aggregates of mind and the external form, you also have the five mental aggregates of form and mind. And that namarupa is important. That is the one you have to see in your meditation. They will continuously arise and pass away. Then they will condition you according to this law, the dependent origination dwelling. Yeah. Then you will also witness the Four Noble Truths, everything. So this final summary is the most important. So you have to reflect and contemplate clearly into it.
Radio, yes. The first aspect of the mind element, the four mind element, the first aspect, and the second aspect of the mind, the four mind elements.
Aggregate, same. Except when you perceive, then only the external form enters the mind. Understand? That's why when you have the direct seeing, you don't perceive, there is no aggregate. The form aggregate doesn't enter the mind. Understand? It's only upon perception through memory. Understand? That's why thought is respond to memory. That's why the thought you input at content. Understand? And the content of consciousness is the external form. And through your views and opinion, you react to what you see, what you hear. Because all this external form, you have a bias towards it, as a discriminative views and opinion over it, because of your conditioning. Okay? Clear? So, this by aggregate of form and mind, you need to really meditate on it, reflect, contemplate on it, then understand it clearly. Because the final summary is that, actually, in my notes, the email compilation, that one is very good about the three turning, but that one is all in note form. You have to read through. You have to inquire, why did the Buddha say this? That's why this will bring us down to the second turning of the first noble truth. Then this second turning of the first noble truth, the Buddha said, if you reflect, contemplate, and inquire deep into the noble truth that he has proclaimed, then it can arise a second type of wisdom born of the second turning called Cintamaya Panya. So Cintamaya Panya is wisdom born of reflection, contemplation, inquiry, and inquiry into the Dhamma as proclaimed by the Buddha. So I wrote here, you contemplate, reflect, and inquire into the first noble truth as proclaimed by the Buddha. Why did the Buddha say this? Then the second turning, they got very unique term for you to actually use to reflect, contemplate, and inquire. So under the first noble truth, the second turning, the Buddha said, this noble truth of dukkha is to be what? Second turning, first noble truth. This noble truth of suffering or dukkha is to be understood. Realize it's the third turning. The third noble truth. This one is, initially you have to understand what suffering is, understand or not? If you cannot understand what suffering is, you know what is the danger or not? Means you suffer without understanding, understand or not? You suffer without knowing that this is suffering, understand or not? So what type of human being are you when you don't even know you suffer? You still blame, no? Get angry with people, no? Your jealousy is still so strong, no? Then you still point finger, no? My husband, that guy, he did this to me, and all things. So this is really ignorant and delusion. Because whatever that caused suffering is all due to your own ignorance and delusion. Without your delusion and ignorance, you will not get yourself entangled. You will not become miserable. The aggregate will not become grasping. Understand? Careful. Yeah, Joyce, yes.
Isn't it, it is actually quite common when you actually meditate or you do your daily mindfulness, you can be in any realm of existence that you want to be, if depending on your the level of your mind state. Am I right in that sense?
There is this analogy that the Buddha used to give to. He said when you are very angry, you are like having birth in the demon realm. Demon born there because of anger. Then when you have a lot of craving, selfishness, sensual desire and all those things, grasping, you are like hungry ghost. You are born there. Then when you have a lot of ignorance, delusion, fear, then you are like this, what they call the hell wings. Understand? The three evil roots are all there. Then when you have a lot of ignorance, those born in the animal realm. Then when you have all the three, chances are you are born in hell. Then when you have very good mind state, you keep your precept, you are incapable of getting angry, deluded, fearful, and maybe developing emotional negativity. Means the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, you got very much less. And then you can have like mind state of a deva with a lot of love, compassion, generosity. Then very kind, because you keep your precept as very considerate. So you like take birth in the what they call heavenly realm, the deva realm. Then those who cultivate the four Brahma Vihara, like you have love, metta, compassion, sympathetic joy, and equanimity, you take birth in the Brahma realm. Because these are the Vihara of the Brahmas. Means they dwell on these four Brahma Vihara. They have love, they have compassion, they have this mudita or rejoicing mind. Then because of their energy field, most of them have this equanimity. But there is a condition state. There is not the equanimity enlightenment factor born of wisdom. Okay? Yeah. Joyce?
Actually, I just wanted to say something, and I want to hear what Brother Teo has to say.
Yeah.
As I progressed, I hope to use the word progress in my cultivation. I tend to come into this segment of my cultivation whereby, as long as I'm heedful and be very mindful of what I do, and what are my thoughts. In a more wholesome way, it will continue to generate. As long as you try to stay at that state of mind, you continue to generate more wholesomeness, and the unwholesomeness of thoughts or any state of mind will get to be much lesser. This is now I'm probably at this state of my cultivation.
Yeah, sadhu. That is very good. Your question finished, You got any more question?
No, that's just my sharing. I want to know what Brother has got to say on this.
No, I will explain. Thank you so much. This bring about very good condition. You see, cultivation, because last time I reflected on this, I tried to inquire how can I help the Kayanamita. This cultivation is very funny, or no? You know why I say funny? In Hokkien, it's tua ho tua pai. You know a tua ho tua pai. Let's say you are young here. This one is maybe enlightenment. Enlightenment. Okay? And this one maybe go down to the four woeful state. So now maybe you human right. This is where you are. Okay, you know this cultivation, how does it go? As long as you are deluded, understand not? You don't understand the Dhamma. You are like the society say, you are trapped in the poverty cycle, understand not? And you cannot come out, understand not? Because without the Dhamma, you don't even know what suffering is. No? You don't even know what the cause behind. No? Not to talk about there is a possibility of enlightenment, the third noble truth. You totally don't understand. Then what is noble eightfold powers that you don't understand? So without that, what happened? That's why the heedless are as if dead. No chance. Understand or not? You sure go down. And this one, when you fall very fast. Understand or not? But the good thing about karma is when you fall and experience enough, then you start to come out again. Understand or not? But when you come out, very slow. But some, after they went down, they determined to remember that they will never do this. They know how they come down. Like there was certain life, Buddha Bodhisattva, he became king. Then he made decision. He caused a lot of killing. As a king, you give decision and all that. So he went down to hell. That time he was a Bodhisattva for 16,000 births. Understand? Don't know, years or birth, I forgot already. Years, I think, years. 60,000 years he was down there. Then when he came out, he became a prince again. Then that time he knew already. You know. If he take over the throne, become king, there is a possibility he will go down again. Then the mother at that time was the queen, passed away, become Deva. The mother actually wanted to help him. The mother also knew. So the mother tell him, you must pretend like you are really useless, not a normal kid. So that like he pretend to be so-so until the king finally give up on him. Then the moment they send him off, he meditate and become enlightened and very famous later on. So that was the life. So when you go now, if you can determine, you can come out fast. Eh? But if you go to Petarayan, don't worry. Eh? You go a lot of Kayanamita. The idang mena tinahotu. You come already. So Dhamma friends can help you in any way. But what I'm trying to tell you is, if you don't cultivate as a human being and follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind, you cannot climb this direction. Understand? To climb this direction, you need the Buddha Dhamma. Understand? And when you have the Buddha Dhamma, you must determine seriously. Yeah. Otherwise, whatever karmic, they become obstruction. Understand? You know what is obstruction or not? You're supposed to go the right path, meet the right guy. But because past life you take people to Holland, somehow condition arise, you also go Holland for a while. It's like that one. That's why you have to be very serious about this way. You don't joke. Understand? You're not sure, don't simply share. Wait for your time. You can share based on your understanding. You say, based on my understanding, this is what I understand. And then share. Understand? Yeah. But if you're very sure, don't worry. Share. The more you share, law of karma is like that. The more you give, the more you receive. Understand? Yeah. So in order to go up, once you have the Dhamma, once you understand, what must you do? You must train yourself to develop what? The Buddha says, first thing is what? Huh? First thing is what? Heedfulness, isn't it? Dhammapada verse 21. Huh? So you must have sati leading to heedfulness. Then after that, what must you do? After that, what must you do? Five, spiritual faculty. Anasana. I cultivate this. This spiritual faculty, the moment it arises, the hindrance is to be, your mind will be heedful, understand? Then after that, cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. If you do these three, your journey up is very fast. You will never fall. Like what Joyce said. He said he is very mindful of his mind state, understand? Means, you apply the four right effort continuously, understand? Not play, you know. Suka, do not, happy, don't do. You know. When your children make you angry, you say, the hell with the Noble Eightfold Path, I got no time. Understand? Like that, how to cultivate, understand? Where you got so angry, you know. You say, how can man, that boy so naughty, you know, someone apply love. But you don't understand. The more anger you have, become evil root, it create more negativity. Then you fall. So. Then not only you fall, you create misery for the boy also. So. Then because you did that, in future when you take birth, you have a parent that did the same thing to you. You reap what you sow. Then you kena kau-kau. And you somehow want to blame everybody. So. The way you treat your kid is your karma. So. If you really have the wisdom and understanding and the Dhamma, if you take care of them, provide for them. In future, your parents will take care of you, provide for you, and guide you. Understand? That's why you care for your parents. In future, you have children that will care for you. Okay? So, the Dhamma is like that. When you are on the right path, when you do this tree, you sure progress all the way non-stop. The right effort to abandon what? All the wrong thought that has arisen, wrong action, wrong speech, wrong livelihood, that you have arisen. So you abandon them all. And so, Then the second right effort is to prevent the arising of this through what? Through mindfulness, through heedfulness, to see your mental intention, to see your wrong view, to straighten your view. You do these two right efforts, you already follow the first advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil. And this is better than keeping precept. But you must know what is evil root, no. Otherwise, you cannot keep, no. Understand? You must know what is wrong thought, no. Wrong action, wrong speech, no. And wrong livelihood, no. Otherwise, you cannot cultivate. So that's why the precept is still the initial guidance. Understand? You go and contemplate and reflect. Why the Buddha asked me to panatipata viramanisika padam samadhiyami? Abstain from killing and causing harm. Why? You reflect, you contemplate, you get the answer. But who kill? Who harm? Only the deluded one, angry one, emotional one, selfish one. So the three evil roots are all there. That's why you violate the precept. So without evil root, you cannot violate the precept. So from there you trace back. There you know killing, causing harm is evil. Okay? Stealing, taking things that don't belong to you is evil. Committing sexual misconduct, not truthful, is evil. Understand? Telling lies, deceiving people, taking advantage of people, all these are evil. Then partake intoxicant that make your consciousness low, also evil. From there you learn what is good, what is evil. Understand? Then you straighten your view. Then you avoid all this activity. Understand? Then you slowly cultivate. Then you develop sati. After that, the second, the third and the fourth right effort, you have to cultivate. You must know what is right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. Then the right effort to cultivate all these virtues that are still not in you. Understand? All this right thought, right speech, right action. Good and pleasant speeches and action. Wholesome thought, right thought, beautiful thoughts, loving thoughts, generous thought. So all this you have to apply right effort, cultivate. If it is still not in you, make sure you cultivate until it's a part of you. And then the last right effort is to refine upon and perfect them. You do this, you will move up this ladder very fast. Because I reflected and contemplated. I got no time to share this. So tonight, you should thank Joyce for creating the condition. Sorry, I took up 10 minutes of your extra time. Okay? So we better end. So I will continue the tree turning the next lesson. Maybe after that, Achan will be here. We got one more lesson before Achan come. Correct? Good. So we can finish off this tree turning. Then maybe you got any question on cultivation, you should ask. That's why today we discuss a lot of good things. Like that, more interesting. You learn more than. So you should ask. That's why those questions like Pamasuri, Ellen, and Joyce asked, they look like very simple questions, but you only need to ask. What you need is question. Simple is better. Then I can share to you, because you never know what it can link to. You may think it's just a normal, simple question. But the Dhamma is so beautiful, so wide, and so on. Even Sister Ingvi asked that question, was very good. That's how the 10 fetters, all this, and the 4 pairs of enlightened being come about. Yeah, all these are not easy to understand, I tell you. You can go and read books. Different books tell you different things, and they hardly tell you anything. Am I right? They hardly tell you anything. You read and read, you don't know what they are trying to tell you. And this one is very easy to comprehend, because if you can relate, means you have the understanding. Otherwise, how to relate? So I dare not tell you anything that I don't understand and I haven't realized or gone through. I cannot do that because I will not understand. Then I will be very frank with you. This is beyond me. This is not my field. Then I will tell you. But if I can share, means I understand. Okay? So we do the sharing of merits, transfer of merit, then invoke the blessing for the country. Then after that, you make your aspiration. Okay, compose your mind. then we will do the sharing of merits with the devas. Akasatta chupumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva chirang rakantu loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata ca amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to departed one. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let these merits accrue to our departed relatives, and may they all too be well and happy always. Okay, invoke the blessing for our nation. Devo vasatu kalena sasa sampati heto cha fito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be prosperous and peaceful always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers, be righteous. Now you make your aspiration. Itmina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya. By the grace of these merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Keep your respect mindfully to Lord Buddha.
Together quickly.